This is Inputs, the podcast by Top Crop Manager, Canada's national source for the latest agronomic research, crop production, and technology trends. You've tuned in to hear conversations about relevant research, best production practices, and everything in between.
You know, for over 15 years, Gowan Canada has focused our deepest respect for science and passion for agriculture to help growers work toward the results they need to grow profitable crops. Herbicide resistance is a growing challenge, and chemical rotation is king. Our Muddy Boots approach to understanding crop protection challenges helps us deliver the right solutions for sustainable weed and pest management. To see the full list of products, go to GowanCanada.com. That's GowanCanada.com. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan Canada.
Hi, my name is Alex Bernard, editor for Top Crop Manager East, and I'm speaking today with Joanna Fallings, cereal specialist with the Ontario Ministry of Agriculture, Food and Rural Affairs, also known as OMAFRA. It's an exciting time because things are moving quickly with the kind of sustained heat and the warmer winter.
Yeah, definitely. We're a little bit ahead of our 2023 and definitely our 10-year norm in terms of the amount of growing degree days or heat that we're accumulating for this time of year. And so, yeah, we're seeing things progress in the field a lot quicker this year or earlier this year compared to previous years. And so we're seeing, you know, nitrogen applications being made here at the beginning of April, and folks are actually going out and finding that their crop is reaching stem elongation. And so we're seeing that head above the soil surface here now on, you know, April the 10th already. So, yeah, things are definitely progressing quite nicely.
How did fall planting go for the winter cereal crops?
Yeah, so fall planting was a little bit tricky this year. Those who had edible beans or crops like canola, that allowed them to come off a little bit earlier and get wheat planted in good time, were still able to do that. But because of the cooler season and the season that we had, we did see a delay in soybean maturity. And especially for those that had planted their soybeans a little bit later, those soybeans were even longer to mature. And so we definitely did see a bit of a delay in fall planting in some areas. Those folks that did intend to plant winter wheat, though, really tried their best to take the soybeans off if they were ready for those fields intended for winter wheat and get those fields planted. So for the most part, the winter wheat went into the ground in, you know, really good conditions and were able to get that wheat planted. And fortunately, we had a fairly open fall and a very mild winter. And so because of that, you know, we really saw that wheat crop nicely advance. You know, a number of fields had, you know, that 2 to 3 tiller goal that we're trying to see in the fall. Before winter, they were able to get their crop to that point, thankfully, because of the warmer weather. And so once we had that mild weather, we didn't really see a lot of freeze thaw events either. And so wheat came out of winter actually looking really, really good in many areas. There are definitely some instances or some fields where maybe things were a little bit wet when they planted wheat. Maybe they didn't get the seed trench closed as nicely as they like would have liked to have seen, or that those fields sat waterlogged in poor drainage. And so there are some gaps in some of those fields. But for the most part, I'd say that the winter wheat crop looks really, really excellent.
Glad to hear it. It's a very regional issue. But were there any, when it got planted in the fall, it got a little too grown and then got dinged by winter weather, or was it not?
I would say not really. Even the winter triticale that has been planted in some areas that was very early, again, and winter barley as well, those fields were planted nice and early. And yes, they did have lots of growth, but we didn't really see any issues with them. There might be a little bit of barley yellow dwarf virus, which is something for folks to keep an eye out for. You might see some stunting or yellowing throughout the field, and that could be a sign of barley yellow dwarf. So if you did have a really early seeded crop, whether that's winter wheat or winter barley, that might be something to keep an eye out for. But I would say no, for the most part, things went into winter looking good and came out of winter looking great.
Perfect. Since things are ahead of schedule, what kind of questions are you getting or what recommendations would you make?
So it's really interesting about, I know that we're here talking today and it's April the 10th, but a few weeks ago, at the beginning of March, I would say, we were starting to get a lot of questions about making nitrogen applications on winter wheat. And so the question was, you know, can I put nitrogen on my wheat? And so at that time, we were really trying to hold people off because the winter wheat crop was only just starting to green up. We hadn't really even broken dormancy yet. So we need 7 days of temperatures above zero consecutively. That's when winter wheat will break its dormancy. And so we really hadn't hit that in the early parts of March. We also hadn't reached the rapid uptake phase, which is stem elongation or growth stage 30. And so we really had to encourage folks to hold off because applying that N too early could increase our risk of losses from both leaching and denitrification. So that was probably the big question early on. Whereas now, as we are reaching semi-elongation in the most southern areas of the province in particular, that's when we want to start to be making our nitrogen applications. And so folks, there's a bit of wet weather coming this week, but for those that were able to put it on a few days ago, and those that didn't are intending to put some on right after we get this rain, now that we've hit that rapid uptake phase. So I'd say that's probably one of the most common questions right now is about nitrogen. There's also a lot of discussion around the amounts and when to apply nitrogen. So there's just been some really great work actually by Peter Johnson. So Peter Johnson and his technician Shane McClure did a nutrient uptake project. And what they found was that the winter wheat plant will take up 50% of its total nitrogen by a second node or growth stage 32. So it's really important for us to make sure that we have, you know, 50% of our nitrogen there, whether that's from our soil, a combination of our soil, as well as fertilizer. So that's something that's been exciting this year, that growers now have that to be able to refer back to and to be able to better time our applications. And then we would like to, if you're splitting that application, we would really like to see, you know, in the past, we were probably making those second applications closer to flag leaf. Whereas now that we know 50% of the nitrogen is taken up by second node and that 70% of the nitrogen is taken up by flag leaf, we probably want to be making that second nitrogen application before flag leaf to make sure that that nitrogen is in fact there for that crop to take up. So that's something really exciting. For those folks that are intending to do a single application, you know, it's really going to depend on the stage of your crop coming out of winter when you're going to make that application. So if you've got a late planted crop with very few tillers, we'd want to make those applications earlier on. So definitely right at or closer to green up, or between green up and semi-elongation rather, because we want to promote that tillering, and we can only do that up to semi-elongation. So we want to promote that tillering. And so we definitely want that nitrogen there. Whereas if we have an earlier planted crop, we want to make sure that we are mitigating our risk for lodging. And our goal there is not to induce more tillering, but to maintain the tillers we have. And so in those fields, we can make applications closer to semi-elongation if you're making a single application as opposed to trying to go earlier. So yeah, I guess it really depends on the grower's preference in terms of a single or split applications. You know, there's a lot of discussion about what is better. We don't always see a yield benefit from a split application, but perhaps the thinking there is that maybe our second split applications are actually a little bit too late if we're making those closer to flag leaf. But generally speaking, you know, single applications, they're convenient. You have lower application costs, and we know that we can produce high yields if lodging risk and losses are minimal. Whereas split applications, it allows you for early nitrogen and sulfur applications to stimulate those tillers in late planted wheat while also not putting it all on that we lose it. And we also have the potential to increase our efficiency of nitrogen use. You can tailor your and management strategy based on the season and also the yield potential of your crop. And then for hard red wheat growers in particular, the split nitrogen applications are really critical for increasing that protein. So those are kind of a lot of the conversations happening right now is really around nitrogen timing, along with sulfur too. And so growers that have no history of manure applications, that, you know, we're on sandy soils or soils with lower organic matter, we tend to see a response to sulfur in those scenarios. And so we, again, generally recommend to growers, try to identify those fields on your farm, do some tests if you haven't already with sulfur. And generally, we recommend a minimum of 10 pounds of sulfur. So that can, and we want like to see that if you're splitting your nitrogen, we'd really like to see that in that first application. because that's when the soils are cool and that's when that crop is in need of some sulfur. And so if we are intending to make those sulfur applications, we should really be making sure that we're putting in that in the first application, similar to wheat, slightly different, but 72% of the sulfur is taken up by flag leaf. So again, it's really important that we have that sulfur there early on in the growth stages compared to later.
On the topic of spring cereals, is planting going to be moved up because of the warm weather?
So actually, there's been a number of growers have been out trying to get their spring cereals seeded, oats in particular. There's been some folks that have frost seeded in February and in all through March. And then there are those that are just still continuing to seed right, up to this point. I mean, for Southern Ontario, if we're growing spring cereals, we actually want to have them planted by today, by April 10th. If you're in central and eastern Ontario, we try to target a planting date before April 15th, and then in the north is the first 2 weeks of May, around May 10th is when we really try to target those planting dates for those regions. So yeah, growers have been out, they're getting their spring cereals seeded. There's been a couple opportunities to do that. It has been challenging in some areas where they've still had some snow or had some heavy snow cover in, especially in central and in eastern and even parts of northern Ontario. But yeah, definitely here in south central and southern Ontario, folks have been seeding their spring cereals and they've been coming up quite nicely. And so yeah, we're seeing that well underway.
Don't want to jinx it, but it sounds like things are going well with wheat this year.
They are going well, but yeah, I mean, as we saw last year, things went really well pretty much up until this point or till early May, and then the tap turned off. So things could still change. And actually, I looked at the forecast last night. I didn't look at it again this morning, but the next 2 weeks or after this week's rainfall look a little bit dry. So yeah, I mean, things could still change here, but as of right now, things are looking really, really good in the cereals world.
All right, we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that's happening currently or?
Yeah, so I guess a couple of things I would mention just for folks, especially at this time of year, with the weather warming up the way that it is, something that can get away from us is weeds and weed control. And so in particular, I'm just thinking of things like chickweed. So chickweed, it'll start to flower. Once it's starting to flower, we really got to be, we're almost a little bit too late. So we really do need to be on top of our weed control and making those applications as early as we can. The weather is quite good right now, even nighttime temperatures. So making those applications is fairly safe at this time of year or right now for the season. So I would definitely encourage growers to get out, walk their fields, take a look for some of those weeds. If you're trying to control, something like annual bluegrass, we definitely need to be making sure that we're properly IDing to make sure that we have the correct species of bluegrass, and also so that we can make sure that we're selecting the right herbicides for that. And that's something that we want to try to get on top of in good time. So plants for especially for bluegrass, we know that it can result in yield losses of up to 50%. They tend to emerge in the fall, but it can also emerge in early spring. So plants that are smaller than 10 centimeters are much easier to control. So that's why we say we want to get out now and get scouting, because we know that we want to make sure that those seedlings aren't getting too big for us to be able to control. And early spring applications provide the best control of bluegrass, because some of the seedlings can be missed by fall applications and they'll emerge in the spring. But early spring applications and fall applications are both much better than late spring applications. And annual bluegrass is the most common bluegrass out there. So that's just something we are hearing more reports of people having challenges with that. So I just wanted to mention that in particular to keep an eye out for annual bluegrass or any of the bluegrass species really. And then again, we want to be making sure that we're getting out and we're controlling our fleabane rosettes and our chickweed before flowering. The other thing I would mention around that is that oftentimes our herbicide timing applications don't always align with our fungicide applications. And so we need to be making those herbicide applications earlier, whereas our fungicide applications might need to be a little bit later. So again, I would just really encourage folks to try to make sure that your applications are timed appropriately to the crop stage or to the weed stage or to the disease stage, rather than just trying to throw it in the tank because you're going across the field. The other thing I would mention is that there has been some areas of the province that have dealt with powdery mildew the last couple of years, particularly north and east of London, I would say. So central, south central Ontario, in Wellington, Dufferin, Grey, Bruce, Waterloo, Perth County, we are seeing some powdery mildew pressure, especially in susceptible varieties. So I would encourage growers to keep an eye out for that, especially because it does thrive after mild winters, which is what we just had. Again, I haven't seen it yet in fields, but it's just something to be aware of and to keep an eye out for early in the season, and particularly in some of those areas. So yeah, definitely get out timely weed control applications, get that bluegrass, fleabane, chickweed under control, and scout for some of those early season diseases like powdery mildew and septoria. And we'll keep an eye on the rust tracker as well. And if stripe rust does rear its head in Ontario, we'll definitely make sure that growers are aware, check out Field Crop News, and we'll make sure that it gets put on Twitter or X. We'll make sure that growers are aware of that, and so that they can make management decisions if necessary.
Thanks for tuning in to Inputs, the podcast by Top Crop Manager. To hear more great research and perspectives from industry experts, visit topcropmanager.com/podcasts or catch up on past episodes wherever you listen to podcasts.